I appreciate the opportunity to be able to share my heart tonight. You get me situated. How many stick things in your Bible and then you worry about when you come up here and it's all going to fall out? So you see it come crashing down, you'll know. I want to share a little bit about just what's on my heart tonight concerning discipleship and being a disciple, being a disciplee, and being discipled, or being a discipler, however you want to say it, whatever word that you want to fit into that. That's probably not in the Webster. But there's a difference between the two, but both are needed. Both are something that we need in our church all the time. The mission of the church, and some of us may be familiar with this, is found in Matthew 29, starting about verse 19 there. It says, "Therefore go and make disciples of all the nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And lo, I will be with you always, even to the ends of the age." So go and make disciples, and I'm going to be with you, even till the end of your age, and even till the end of the age. And so I feel sometimes we get confused as Christians at times what we're supposed to be sharing. I think a lot of times we think our mission is to share a testimony. And our testimony is important, and that helps in building a relationship with others. But that's not what the scripture says. We need to go one step beyond that testimony and begin to share what God has taught us through his commands and what he's continuing to teach us. Discipleship means following Christ in his direction, and we need to work together to do that. The scripture says iron sharpens iron, and so we need to discuss the word together, pray over the word together, share the word together in order to grow as a disciple. There's a long road between going, making, baptizing, sharing, teaching someone. And there's a lot of hands, a lot of hands that touch along the way. Yeah. I'm like, am I standing in the wrong magic spot here? Do I need to? You know, along the way, there should be many people touching each of us, and we should be touching many others, discipling each other as we go, and discipling others. So where do we need to go to get growth? Where do we need to go to be discipled or to be a discipler? And there's many opportunities you can do that. You can go straight to the Word of God. But as we begin to share with one another, we can go to after church small groups. We have Wednesday night or tomorrow night starting. Edie Tolbert's starting a women's group tomorrow night for the next 4 weeks. So if you haven't heard about that, get on Facebook or give her a call. We have some AC small groups, some after church small groups that will be starting in July. There'll be different times of the week that you can go, and we'll be able to share the word together, talk about the word together, and grow. So if you're interested in those, and of course we still have our before church Sunday school groups. On Sunday mornings, you can come and share in those. So there's lots of places we can go to start getting discipled. But what about the making part? Does that mean I have to be a teacher or a preacher? Well, not really. But God has called each of us to share what he's taught us. So we learn, we tell somebody else about it. Now, some of you may know that I did outreach and bus ministry for the church for about 15 years, and I want to share a little bit of that tonight, and hopefully I'm not repeating too many stories on that, but I want to share a little bit of that from my heart tonight. The group, a bus ministry group, involved an outreach group and a bus ministry that picked up the kids and the families on Sunday mornings, but the outreach group went out on Saturday mornings. And one Saturday morning when we went out, we came up to a house. We were either blitzing new houses of people we didn't know or revisiting families that were attending. So this particular Sunday, we went out and met a family back over in the city area here, talked to the mother, encouraged her to allow us to pick up her little girl. And so we'd been picking up her little girl for several months. And all of a sudden, we went on a Saturday morning, and she said, "I have a new husband, and he's not going to let the little girl go. anymore. He doesn't believe in church. He's not going to let her go anymore. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, we'll come by Sunday morning anyway, and maybe you can change his mind in between, and we'll pick her up anyway. We went by Sunday morning. She didn't come. And so the following Saturday was a holiday weekend. And so there was only two of us that showed up for visitation that Sunday because of the holiday weekend or that Saturday. And so I told the girl that was with us, we'll just visit the route and visit the families and make it quick, and then we'll go on, because it was starting to rain and a whole bunch of different things. And so, Judy, you'll get a kick out of this. Regina showed up. And Regina went with me on Saturday morning. She drove the van. And so toward the end of the route, we get to this little girl's house. And I said, let me run to this little girl's house and just see if I can convince them to let her go tomorrow morning. So I get to the house. I cross the long yard. I go to the door, which was on the side. I start to knock on the door. And all of a sudden, this man comes from around behind the house, yelling really loud, running towards me with a 2x4 in his hand. And the first thing I did, of course, was start running. He was older. I was younger then. I beat him. And just as I was clearing the ditch to go to the van, I heard this noise. Click. Regina locked the doors. And at that moment, everything in my life just kind of slowed down to a slow little crawl. The first question that came to my mind was, why do we not carry two sets of keys on Saturday morning when we go out? The second thing that came to my mind was, when I get into the van with Regina, okay? But the third thing that came into my mind was this: turn around. Now, sometimes I know God's busy. And he's paying attention to the big world crisis things. He's not really looking at what I'm doing, right? So I have to tell him, God, did you not see the yelling man behind me with the 2x4? And you want me to turn around, okay? Let me help you out here, God. I think I need to go this way. But again, that little voice said, turn around. So as soon as my feet hit the other side, I jumped back across the ditch, very ladylike, and I started walking towards the guy. Now, he was still running and yelling at me. And I started walking very calmly as I could on the outside, shaking to death on the inside, because I just knew I was going to get a 2x4 upside the head. And all of a sudden, when we got pretty close to each other, he just stopped. And he dropped the 2x4, and he looked at me like, I must be crazy or something, which I felt like I was at that point. But he just stopped and looked at me, and when I opened my mouth to talk, the first words that came out of my mouth was, I don't think you know who I am. Like that mattered. That didn't matter a bit. But in that moment of slow-mo there, I realized it wasn't who I was. I don't think you know who I am. Began to talk to him. And I can't tell you what happened in the next 20 minutes of conversation with him, but I can remember at the end of that conversation, he had his head hanging down, and all I can remember saying to this gentleman was, please let me pick up you and your wife and your child tomorrow and bring you to church. And I remember his words saying to me, you can pick her up, I won't go. And he turned and walked away. That was my first encounter with Sam. Now, over the course of a few months, we would go about every other Saturday and visit with Sam, and if we didn't go on a Saturday, Sam would come out on the bus on Sunday morning and climb up on the step and talk to the bus driver and us, and he would remind me I didn't come by and see him on Saturday. And so he began to enjoy us coming by and visiting with him. But over a course of a few months, we went by on one Sunday and to pick up the little girl, and the house looked pretty empty. Saturday, we had went to visit, and nobody was there, and by Wednesday night, all the kids were telling us how they had split up and moved, and Sarah had moved away. And so it was a long time before we knew exactly what had happened to this little child. And I was just thankful God had given us the opportunity, the short opportunity that we had to visit with her and share the gospel of Jesus Christ with her. But one day, one Saturday morning, we got up and we went out. We were knocking on doors. And we went to a door. Guess who we were found behind one of the new doors? It was Sam. And I couldn't tell on Sam's face if he was happy to see me or if he was really scared. And so I began to talk to Sam, and we would come by every 2 or 3 weeks and just say hi to Sam because he was in the area. But as the course of time went on, our bus route took us a different direction, and so we didn't visit Sam as often. And one Saturday morning on the way back to church, I was with Diane, and I said, "Diane, I just really feel like we need to go by and see Sam." And she said, "Well, let's do it." So we drove by, and before he could hardly park the car, the van, Diane was out of the door and across the yard. Diane's story was out of the yard, crossed the yard, and so by the time I got around the van, I could hear her say, "Sam, what are you going to do with Jesus today?" And I thought, ooh, that's pretty bold. But I remember him hanging his head down and saying, "Miss Diane, I don't know what to do with Jesus." And we spent the next 30, 45 minutes talking and praying with Sam on his front doorstep. And there on his front doorstep at the end, he grabbed a hold of our hands and prayed the sinner's prayer with us. I invited him to get on the bus the next morning. That's a big step. He didn't get on. Following Saturday, we went by the house, and it was pretty quiet. So the following Tuesday or Thursday, we went back to visit again to see if we could talk him into coming. They were unloading the house, unpacking the house. And we went up and explained what we were doing and where we were at with how we knew Sam. One of the ladies said, "Sam passed away about a week ago, shortly after he had met Jesus Christ." And so I know that Sam didn't have a whole lot of discipling, but he had enough that he met Jesus. And that's what we need to do. That's where we need to be. Discipling is an investment. It doesn't happen overnight. And we may think that what we're doing isn't impacting someone, but in the end, it just might. You see, there's a long road between going, making, baptizing, sharing, teaching someone, and there's a lot of hands along the way. And tonight I'm asking you, where are your hands? What are you doing to help disciple someone? I believe that God has given all of us some gifts. Some of us have several gifts, but everybody has at least one. Now, there's things that I feel like I'm better equipped to do, but there's things that I do because they need to be done. The scripture tells us that the gifts of the Spirit are given not just for the believer, but for the body of Christ. It's to make the body complete. So as we use our gifts, the body grows in relationship to Christ, with Christ, in our faith and in our fellowship. It makes the body complete. You make the body complete when you share your gift. The scripture also tells us these gifts are intended for the church to edify, to strengthen, to feed, to exhort, to encourage, and to have the body of Christ empowered to do the work for Christ. These gifts are also to exalt Christ. They're to be a witness of God's power to build up the body and to work to enlarge the body of Christ. You're needed to make the body complete. Isaiah 11, verse 2 speaks of the different spiritual gifts, saying that there is the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, and the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. The scripture in Matthew says, "Teach all that I've commanded." That's how you do it. He will delight in obeying the Lord. There are 9 gifts that Paul mentions in Corinthians in chapter 12, and that's the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, faith, the gifts of healing, workings of miracles, prophecies, discerning of spirit, all kinds of tongues and interpretations of tongues. And Paul tells us these are different kinds of gifts, but the same gift is distributed by the one Spirit. No 2 gifts are the same, and no 2 believers have exactly the same gift, but all these gifts are given for the common good of the church. You strengthen the body when you use your gift. If you don't share your gift with the body's sick. We're sick. So how then can we get well? By you using your gift that God has given you. There was one Sunday morning that I think sometimes we get confused about the Spirit, before I share that, sometimes we get confused about the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit with the offices of the Spirit. You may be familiar with the scripture in Ephesians that says that some are called to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers, for the perfection of the saints and the working of the ministry, for the edifying of the body. And I'm not asking people tonight to be officers in the church, per se, unless that's what God's called you to be. I'm asking you to use your gift tonight. Your mission is to build the body of the church, to edify the body of the church, to share what God has given you. So some of you may be thinking about, well, she's getting ready to ask me to volunteer for something. And yes, I am. There's a lot of places in the church that need your gifting, that need you. And so as I go through the rest of this tonight, be thinking and be sensitive to the Spirit. Where is it that God's not done with you? I don't care if you're 10 or if you're 110. God's not done with you. He needs you. We need you in the body. There are things we can do in life, and there are things that we love to do in life. But many times, there are things that we need to do, and we need to immediately step into that need and rise to the occasion for the sake of discipleship. We met a young woman one Saturday morning, one weekend while we were out, and she had a young child, I'm going to say probably about 5 months old at the time. She began to ride the bus with us and rode for several months. And finally, one morning when we went, one Sunday morning, her husband got on with her and began to ride with her. And so they had been coming for about 6 months to this church. And one Friday morning at work, I got a phone call. And it was this mother. She was pretty frantic on the phone. Can you get to the emergency room? Something's wrong with Brianna. Brianna's not breathing. So I dropped everything, ran to the emergency room. And I will never forget the scene that I walked in on. The mother was there, the dad was there, police officers were there, and over in the corner on a cold stainless steel table was a young baby, white, cold, lifeless. And as the story began to unfold, I prayed with the mother, I prayed with the dad, and the story began to unfold that the dad had murdered the baby. And I use that word, murdered, because that's all that fits. And it was a hard situation, and I remember the following Sunday, that was a Friday, so Sunday I'm sitting back here, and we begin to sing the song, Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. And I begin to question, how can that be, God? When you let something so horrific happen to a child, how can that be? That your glory is here. I don't understand. It was pretty conflictual to me. And it took a long time for me to understand that the whole earth does belong to God. And when we give our heart to Christ, we belong to God. But we invited sin into this world. And there's a lot of things that happen around us. And I don't care what city, county, state, nation you live in, they all belong to God. We belong to God. And it took me a while to understand, just because something bad happens doesn't mean I don't belong to God anymore. Doesn't mean that little baby didn't belong to God anymore. But it just took a while. And I begin to think about the Israelites and how they forsook God. Oh, they were still going to church. They were still getting up in the morning and doing their ritual and going to church, but their hearts had forsaken God. And the scripture says that they had became very mechanical in what they were doing. They were still worshiping, singing, going about whatever the ritual was, but that's all it was. It was a ritual, not a relationship. Discipleship is hard sometimes. And we have to build those relationships in order to share the gospel. But sometimes it's just hard. It's just hard. Through everything, God taught me many things through that situation, even though I thought I was the one doing the teaching. Although I thought I was the one picking up them, bringing them to church, God taught me a lot through that experience. And though times are hard, we can learn to lean on Him, and we can learn how He brings us through those things, and that does become part of our testimony that we can share along with what he teaches us through his word. Because there's a long road between going and making, discipling, and sharing. And there's a lot of hands that are needed along the way. So we never know how long we have to share with someone. And the hardest thing, I think, looking back, was praying a prayer of forgiveness with a dad that had done such a horrendous thing. And I still pray for that dad. I still pray for that mother. Discipleship is hard sometimes. Some of you may remember a story of Erica. I first met Erica on a Wednesday night on a bus route. She came to church with a group of friends. But before I tell you about Erica, I want to tell you a little bit about these friends and how disciples are made. Matthew 4:18 says, Jesus said, walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon and Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting their net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. And they immediately left their nets and followed him. Going from there, he saw two brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and immediately they left their boats and their father, and they followed him. Luke 5 tells us, after these things, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting in a tax office. And he said to him, follow me. So he left, and he rose up, and he followed him. Now, if we've been studying Luke and before church class for the last couple of weeks and over here. And Luke was the historian. He wanted to get everything right, everything in order. He wanted to get the eyewitness accounts. And I can just imagine Matthew telling Luke the story. One day I was sitting in the tax office, and I was ripping everybody off. My own people. The Romans said, take this amount of tax, and I'd take a little more for myself. And Jesus walked by. And what a change. I mean, he didn't ask me. He didn't say anything to me other than follow me. And I immediately left my old ways and started something new. The scripture says they immediately left and followed him. I didn't see any discussion in the scripture. Now, I understand we're all Christian here and you have to love me, so I'm going to take a little liberty here, okay? But I didn't see any discussion in the scripture that said, well, is it going to be kids or adults? Do I have to do the lesson? Do I have to be there every week? Well, what room's it going to be in? Well, who's going to help me? Well, can I do it every fifth Sunday? And on. I don't see any discussion about any of those little questions in there. They immediately followed Jesus. On Saturday morning, I got onto my car and went Saturday morning, and we had been going through the motion. And I don't know how else to say that. Every Saturday morning, 9 o'clock, we met up here, and we went through the motion. Went out and visited, went out and handed out flyers. I had a little flyer, usually stuck a little piece of candy on the end of it. I'd met this elderly couple that had been attending with us. And she said, my daughter's moved in from Tulsa. She's messed up in some things she shouldn't be messed up in. Her husband's a drug dealer. I've asked her to come to church. She didn't say anything, but I think if you went by and talked to her, she'd come. I said, okay. So a lady named Rhonda and I went out that Saturday morning, and they sent us to this garage that used to be here in town. And if you go around behind the garage, there's a staircase. And if you went up the staircase, there was an apartment at the top. It took us about 20 minutes to find the staircase. Okay. So when we finally realized, oh, that staircase, and we started to climb up it, Rhonda decided she'd stay at the bottom and be the lookout for me. And so, so I began to climb up the staircase, and there was a big pile of something here that I'm sure was a rat's nest that I climbed over. And I got to the top of the staircase, and there was old tires and old batteries, and it stank really bad, and it was horrible. And there was a door at the end of it, just like she described. And I knocked on the door, but the door wasn't really connected to anything. It was just leaning there. So I knocked on the door, and this big guy, big scary guy, picked up the door and moved it over, okay? Which really scared me even more because it was a pretty heavy door. But all I remember was I was standing there with my little flyer and my little piece of candy. And when he picked up the door and he moved it over, he gave me a full view of the apartment inside, which really was an old garage room. Still had tires, batteries, old oil cans, and whatever else you can think of in there that they had pushed back to the perimeter of the room. It was a hard concrete floor, very oil-stained and dirty. They had set a couch in on this side and a rug in front of the couch. And as I quickly scanned the apartment while I was trying to still talk to the big guy in front of me here, I saw a baby come crawling across the cement floor in a diaper. It's all he had on. And the mother came around, picked up the baby. When she picked up the baby, his knees were bleeding because that's how rough the concrete was. And I thought, what in the world am I doing? What am I doing? I have a piece of paper and a piece of candy. And these people need more than that. I mean, sometimes we're so ill-equipped. And I realized the next Saturday as I was sitting there, and incidentally that lady did come with us that Sunday morning. Sunday night she wanted me to pick her up again, so I picked her up again. We had choir practice at the time, so she came and hung out in the choir room. They gave her a robe that Sunday night before I knew what was going on. So when we came up and lined up for choir practice, she lined up with us. Kevin Fouts, I think, was preaching that night, gave an altar call before service. She came out of the choir, got saved. Went back up into the choir, finished singing. At the end of service, it was really bizarre. At the end of the service, he gave another call for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. She came up and got filled with the Holy Spirit. It was an awesome time. It was an awesome Sunday. But I just thought, what are we doing? What is it really? Is that really what we're supposed to be doing on Saturday mornings? I don't think it is. And so this Saturday morning, I was sitting at the end of my driveway, and I thought, God, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And I'm not moving until you tell me. I need some direction. I don't know where we're supposed to go this morning, who we're supposed to be touching, what is it that they need, because this flyer and this piece of candy is not cutting it. just not making it. And so as I sat there and I began to pray, I just felt that little small voice in the Holy Spirit just say, go, I'm with you, go. It's all right, I know what I'm doing, go, just keep going. Sometimes it's all we can do is keep going. Because somebody else's hand is what makes. Somebody else's hand is what shares. Sometimes my job is just to go. And so we got up that morning, and when I started to pull out of the driveway, I saw these two dove just fly around and kind of fly down and sit in front of me. And I kind of noticed them. It was pretty obvious. Kind of noticed them. Well, we went on Saturday morning, and we're blitzing new neighborhoods and got toward the end of our time and really hadn't had a whole lot of success. And Barbara and I were talking about the experience that morning that I had prayed with God and what we were supposed to be doing and this outreach. And all of a sudden, we saw these two dove come right in front of us and land on this house about three houses down. We both looked at each other because it was really odd. And so we went to this house and we met a family that had five children and began to minister to them and talk to them, and they let the five children come. And somewhere along that way, they invited a little girl named Erica. This family of children they had us at many times on Sunday mornings running all over Claremore picking up kids because they were that excited about inviting people to church. And on that Wednesday night, we had to double back and pick up Erica. And on the way home, well, that Wednesday night, she came to Missionettes, and the teacher, she was with the teacher in there, and the teacher prayed a sinner's prayer. Erica prayed with her, gave her heart to the Lord there, first time out. So on Wednesday night, on the drive home, I'm talking to Erica, and I said, Erica, you want to come Sunday morning? And she said, and it was, I can still remember her voice, well, I would just love to, Miss Shelley, but I just don't think I can wake up on Sunday morning. Everybody sleeps in, and I'm sure I'll be sleeping in. She was very adult about it. And I thought, I said, so in the course of conversation, the friend decides she'll call her, she'll go get her, she'll get her up, she'll get her there Sunday morning. And so we prayed about it, let her off. Sunday morning comes, she does get on the bus on Sunday morning with her friend. She goes to kids' church, and she gives her heart to the Lord again in kids' church. You know, you've been there. You have to do it a couple of times to make it stick. And she was even working, I think, the next Sunday night. They were going to do a baptism, and she had already agreed to come and be baptized and that kind of thing. She was excited for the Lord. They let her off on Sunday morning. She went in, changed her clothes, came outside to pray, or came outside to play. Got on her skateboard, rolled down the driveway, and rolled in front of a car and lost her life. But what I want you to remember is the family that invited her. That was, I'm sure, their first disciple. You see, they hadn't been going here very long, and they'd start inviting people, and that was their first disciple. They'd prayed with her on that Wednesday night on the bus ride home. They had brought her to church, encouraged her, helped her get going. And she gave her heart to the Lord. They're still attending today. All those kids are still working. Those girls are still working in ministry, have always worked in ministry. One's going to school to be a minister. That family has been discipling since the very time that they started. And I tell you, I'm not saying this to embarrass anybody, but for many years, the dad would send Buddy Barrel Sunday. His kids were always the top prize. He always made sure they had full Buddy Barrels, even before he started tending himself. There's lots of stories out there. There's lots of Erica's. There's lots of Sam's. There's lots of Brianna's, Sarah's out there. Discipleship starts at the beginning of our walk with Christ, and as far as I can see, it doesn't end. There isn't a time out on it. There isn't a I'm too old. There isn't a I'm too young. Or I've already done that. Discipleship begins and ends with Christ as we go through it. I've asked Melanie to come up and help me with something here. Now, I told you I was going to ask you to volunteer. So, and you have to love me because you're a Christian. So, I made Melanie a piece of paper here. Melanie helps on our Sunday morning before church, our Sunday school kids side. As well as Dennis and Jacob and Becky and some of the other ones here, the Powers. I'm probably missing somebody. My brain's dead. So there's a lot of them that help with the kids, but we need some more volunteers. We have a lot of classrooms that have one teacher. We really need two teachers or at least a relief substitute teacher. We need people to come in and fill in because when they're gone, we really have a hard time covering those classes. So I am asking you that if you're not volunteering on a Sunday morning already, that if you'll just give her your name and your phone number, that we'll call you this week, discuss with you how it goes, get you an orientation. I'm sure Vince is somewhere here. And we will just help with that orientation and get you set up and get you started in the rotation of that. We're only looking for every 4 weeks. 4 to 6 weeks, that's all I'm asking, 4 to 6 weeks, one time, 4 to 6 weeks. So all you got to do is just raise your hand, and she'll take your name and your phone number, and just to save time, I'm going to go on talking, okay, while she takes your name and phone number, so just go ahead and raise your hand right on up there, okay. Now, I'm not trying to guilt anyone into working in kids' ministry, but like I said, there are things that need to be done, things that I like to do, things that I feel like I do better, but sometimes there's just needs, and we just need to step out and help. As I said, there's a lot of Erica's. The stories that I shared today are old stories. We haven't had bus ministry for 3 years now. So the stories I shared tonight are old stories that happen with us. But there's new stories that need to happen every day here that are happening every day here. This morning and before church class, we talked about those God moments. There's God moments every day of our life. And we need to be aware of those God moments. We need to be a part of those God moments. And so when God gives you a gift, You need to be sharing that gift. You need to be teaching that gift. You need to be receiving, too. So I'm just asking you tonight. Melody's still walking around, getting names, numbers. Awesome. That's great. There's so many hands up in the air. That's awesome. So tonight, as I close, I'm going to ask you this, that you will just pray with me. Because there's lots of people out here in the city that are teachers. There's lots of people out here that are kids teachers, adult teachers, preachers, apostles, whatever it is their gifting is. They've got the word of wisdom. They just don't know it yet. And we probably come across them every day in the grocery store, the mailman, wherever we go, department stores that we go to, our next door neighbors. They're just waiting for us to invite them. They're just waiting for us to share what God's already begun to teach us. And sometimes that's just a big step. That's a big step. But those people need that. We need them in here. Our body is sick without them because they've got a gift that we need. Discipleship is everyone's problem. Everyone's calling. I can just hear Jesus walking by the disciples and saying, I know you're in the boat with your dad, but come on. And they left their homes, they left their work, they left their family. We're not in that situation. I'm only asking for an hour and a half on a Sunday morning, four times a week. And your family can come with you. You can bring your boat if you want. Well, maybe not. But you're not, you know, God's asking you to help out in a situation in our church. As our church grows, we're going to need your gifting. There's a long road between going and making, baptizing, sharing, and teaching. And it takes a lot of hands along the way. Where are your hands in this church? You're a part of it. We need your hands. Melody, you got your list full? Yeah! Awesome. There's teachers and leaders and even preachers that we need. And like I said, there's some out in our community. And so tonight as we close, will you pray tonight for our community? Let's bow our heads. Father God, Lord, I just thank you for your time with us and your patience with us. Sometimes we don't know which way to go, which way to turn, but you're always there. You've never left. Sometimes we walk the wrong direction, but I'm so thankful that you call us back and you lead us back. I'm so thankful, God, for this city, this opportunities that we have here in the city of Claremore, the county, Rogers County here, Lord. So many opportunities for sharing what you have taught us and the commands that you have taught us. And God, I just ask you right now, Lord, that you would just touch this body of believers, Lord, and give us the courage, the strength, the wisdom, and the knowledge that we need to go out and share that, to invite others, to be a friend to others, to hold hands with someone when we see somebody new come in, to have the courage to go sit with them and talk with them. Father, I just ask you tonight, Lord, that your anointing would be up on each one of us as we just continue to walk and grow in you. Lord, open our hearts and let us hear your word and take it into our lives so it becomes a life change in our heart. And Father, I just ask you, Lord, tonight, Lord, if there's anyone here that doesn't know you, Lord, that they would just speak softly to you tonight and just ask you into their heart. God, it doesn't have to be a big parade, but it's a big thing in heaven when they give their heart to you. And God, I just ask you, Lord, that you would be with each one of us as we go this evening in Jesus' name. Now, in about 4 weeks, well, first part of July, we're going to start, we're going to start a after church small group. And that small group, there'll be sign up sheets for that, so be watching for that. We want everybody to participate that wants to participate. This is a discussion type small group. It's a 4-week commitment. Different people are going to host that, so look for that opportunity. Thank you.